Right, okay. When politicians are running for office, the last thing that they want made known are past failures or any difficult life circumstances that they have faced being made public. It's the last thing they want. They see it as a sign of weakness that might hinder their political prospects. In our text this morning that we've just had read to us, the Apostle Paul does completely the opposite. Rather than trying to hide his past struggles, he points to them. He highlights them. He recognizes that a person's true character and beliefs are seen most clearly in times of trial, in times of difficulties. And so Paul comes and he challenges the Corinthian believers to look at his life and to see what he really believes, even in the midst of great, in very difficult circumstances. And he says that his goal in life has always been to live consistently so that what he preaches matches up to how he lives. In verses 3 and 4, he says, "We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God." I don't know if you've realized it, but every Christian is a minister of God. So Paul is referring to us now. If you're a believer this morning, then you're a minister of God, as Paul was. We're no different. And in the course of each day, unbelievers will observe you, whether you realize it or not, whether they say they are or not, they will observe you if they know you're a follower of Jesus. So with that in mind, make it your aim to live a consistent life, so that you don't give those around you a reason to reject Jesus Christ. If people reject Christ, the gospel, let it be because the gospel is offensive to them. But don't let them reject Christ because of what you have said or what you have done. So how can we be consistent in our Christian lives in the midst of difficult and challenging circumstances? How can we maintain that? I want to look at this passage today because Paul gives us some pointers here for us to apply. The first thing that Paul points us to is that his response to consistent living in difficult times is patient endurance. Patient endurance. Verses 4 to 5, he says, "We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food." Experiencing these difficult circumstances would cause many people to become bitter or just simply give up. "I've had enough. This Christian life is too tough. I can't live consistently in this climate." But Paul saw these situations as opportunities to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul realizes that his current circumstances weren't as important as what he actually did with them. How he actually used them was more important to him. And he encourages the Corinthians and he encourages us as ministers of God, ministers of the gospel, who are afraid of persecution, to follow his example. Now today we may not find ourselves in a dungeon as Paul did, but we find ourselves in a different prison, a prison of lockdown, with many opportunities before us for discouragement, financial burdens, family burdens perhaps, family conflicts, our children's education suffering, the threat of a loss of our jobs, loneliness, and so on and so on and so on. And how we act in these difficult situations will reflect what we believe to those around us. And Paul here reminds us to make it our goal, or at least to seek to make it our goal, to always look for ways to demonstrate our faith and patiently endure difficult times, because we know that God remains ultimately in control. And we may not have all the answers in difficult circumstances. We may not understand what God is doing, but we're called to trust that he always knows what's best and to go with that. Patient endurance, that's the first thing. The second thing that Paul points us to is that as Christians, we will face difficult times. Now, some Christians claim that if God is pleased with you and if you're doing well with God, then you won't experience hardship or pain or difficulties. And those who claim, those who make such claims, I want to suggest to you are distorting the message of the Bible. Paul lived in obedience to God, and yet he faced tremendous hardships. Jesus Christ lived in complete and perfect obedience to the Father, but he had incredibly difficult time, even unto death on a cross. And Jesus was very, very clear when he says to his disciples in John 16, in this world you will have trouble. He didn't say we might have trouble. He said we will have trouble. So don't be surprised by it. The fact is that Christians and non-Christians alike face difficult times. A Christian's trials and difficulties really often not much different than the trials of non-Christians face mainly. What should be different is how we handle those difficult times, because we have a hope that they don't have. We believe in a God that is in control. We believe in a God that knows what is best. We believe in a God who says he will be there and never leave us or forsake us. We believe in a God that says, I will comfort you, I will console you, you can cast your burdens upon me. We believe in a God that says, I will guide you, I will steer you. The question is, do our lives reflect or show that we believe this, or do they not? That's the ultimate question. That's the difference. Somebody once said that what we really are, or what we really believe and trust, will become evident when we are under trials or difficult circumstances. That's when what we really believe in our hearts will be revealed. So patient endurance, expect difficult times as a believer. And thirdly, Paul points us to reliance on the Holy Spirit during difficult times. Paul understood that his strength was not his own, but he came from relying on the Holy Spirit that was working within him. And when he felt weak, he knew that God would supply strength. And in those times when we feel that we just can't carry on for another day, we can't carry on anymore, it's all just too much for us, when we've got to come to the end of our tether, when we've got nothing left in the tank, and we have the assurance that we can ask God to help us by his Holy Spirit to carry on. And as you do that, you will find that when you keep striving to be obedient, God will give you a supernatural strength to endure the difficult circumstances that you find yourself in. But I have no doubt that the things that we've mentioned thus far didn't come easy to Paul. He was a flawed human being just as we are. And I'm sure there were many times when he didn't feel like acting this way. But Paul knew that how he lived communicated a great deal to others about what he believed. And that's what he's calling us to know this morning. And he wanted his life to be consistent in good times and in bad times. He knew that these times of trial, or he saw these times of trial as opportunities to show that he really believed the message that he preached. He knew that if he continued to be faithful, even in these difficult times, it would show others that the gospel he preached was the cornerstone of his life, that it was real and that it was true. And that mattered more to Paul than his difficult circumstances. So how do we endure and remain consistent in difficult times? patient endurance. Expect difficult circumstances. Don't be surprised by them. A reliance on God. And fourthly and finally, Paul gives us a fresh perspective. He encourages us to change our perspective. In verses 8 and 9, he gives us more examples of his faithfulness in the midst of trials, not to brag, but to encourage us. In verses 8 and 9, it says, We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. Paul kept his perspective. He knew that even though he lived close to death, he wasn't dead. Even though he had been beaten, he hadn't been killed. Even though his heart ached from seeing that things weren't as they should be, he had a joy that came from knowing that God remained in control and that one day he would make all things right again. He knew that he didn't have much in terms of worldly possessions. He may have been poor by the standards of the world, but he knew that when it came to the things that really mattered, i.e. changed lives and a relationship with God the Father, he was a very, very rich man. In the spiritual realm, he was a wealthy man. And that's where Paul's perspective was, not on his earthly circumstances. And the lesson Paul is teaching us, or one of the lessons Paul is aiming to teach us here, I believe, is one of perspective. And Paul challenges us not to simply believe what the world tells us, but to look instead at what God says is true. And the world says to you, your situation is hopeless, so you might as well just give up. But God says, I love you, and I will give you strength to persevere in the times when you are weak. The world says, your life can't possibly make any sort of lasting impact for the kingdom. Why are you even bothering? The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God works through us to accomplish great things. Great things. And he can use us to make a real eternal impact in the lives of others, even during lockdown, if we would but simply trust and continue to serve him and see how we can reflect Jesus in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. I love the phrase, I think it was one of the great bishops, I can't remember who, but I love it and I often use it as a template for ministry. It says, expect great things from God. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things from God. Expect great things from God. And in the light of that, attempt great things from God. I would always want Oakley to be a church. One of our prayers in our pre-service prayer meeting is that people will come with a spirit of expectation and a spirit of anticipation into our services, because we're coming to meet with the living God. It's not just a secular meeting where we're gathering to see one another, wonderful though that is. The main purpose is that we're coming into the presence of the living God. And we're excited because we're wondering, what's he going to do today? What is he going to say? How is he going to minister to me? What is it that he's going to bring to light in my life? Expect great things from God. And as you do that, you will attempt great things from God. And my prayer is that Oakley will always be a church that expects great things from God and attempts great things for God. As we conclude this morning, Paul faced many hardships and trials, but he didn't view those experiences as weaknesses. He viewed them as opportunities to demonstrate that he really believed what he preached. And each of us will face trials in our lives. Some of us are facing trials right now as I speak. And I am not going to pretend that I've walked the same path that you have. So I'm not going to pretend that I have all the answers for you this morning. But what I can do is point you to the lessons that we can gain from this passage and encourage you to apply them to our own lives in times of trial. The way that we carry on living in the midst of difficult circumstances is to learn to look beyond ourselves. Look outside of your circumstances. It's tempting when it feels like our world is crumbling around us to retreat, sit back and ask the question, why me? Why me? But Paul reminds us here that this attitude keeps us from living as we should. And he challenges us to lift our eyes beyond our circumstances and towards the God who loves us and remains in control of our lives. God is still on the throne. Nothing has changed. God has not removed his hand of blessing from us. And when you feel helpless, then maybe you want to ask yourself, well, do I really believe that God is in control here? God is in control. Am I believing that? And when you don't understand why things are happening, remind yourself that God knows what's best and he still has a plan and purpose for you, even though you can't see it right now. And when you're tempted in the midst of those difficult circumstances to take matters into your own hands or to compromise your faith, remind yourself again that God's way is always best. Always. Friends, if we remind ourselves that God's word and promises are true and hang on to that, it will help us to keep going, to patiently endure, and to maintain perspective and not lose heart and not give up. And one of the blessings of hard times is that it forces us to reach out to God in a way that we would never do when things are going well in our lives. It forces us to cry out and reach out to God in a way that we would never do when everything is well, going well in our lives. To make the most of the opportunity that difficult circumstances present you. That may sound like a weird thing to say, but make the most of difficult circumstances that you find yourself now. How can I use these difficult circumstances to reflect Jesus Christ to those around me? Because how we endure the trials of life will tell us and those around us a lot more about what we really believe than any amount of words that we can speak. So whether we're facing good times or bad ones this morning, our goal should be the same, to be consistent in the way that we live, so that when people ask us what we believe, they will not only benefit from the words that we say, but they will see what we believe by the way that we live, particularly in difficult times. Amen. I want us to pray. I want us to respond now. Online, the Spirit of God can still move online. And if you feel more comfortable just to switch off your video screen at this time, then please feel free to do that. As we come before the Spirit of God, asking him to come and minister to us this morning, I want to ask you the question, what is the difficult circumstance in your life right now? What is it that you're having to endure that's making it difficult to live consistently for Jesus right now? And whatever that difficult circumstance or whatever that battle is that you're facing right now, I want to invite you now just to bring it before the Lord. Psalm 13 verse 1 says, how long, Lord, how long The psalmist cries out, how long will you forget me? Will it be forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Some of you may be feeling like that this morning. How long, Lord? How long? How much longer do I have to endure this? When are you going to break through? Why is it that my prayers just seem to bounce off the wall all the time and have no impact? Firstly, I will invite you again this morning just to bring your difficult circumstance before the Lord right now. Father, we thank you that your word says that we should cast all our anxieties, all our burdens on you because you care. And Father, we thank you that even though we may not see immediate changes in our life circumstances, that doesn't mean that you don't care or love us. Father, we thank you that that is a constant, that your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on us. And Lord, you know the difficult circumstance, you know the pain that each of us is going through this morning. And we invite you now, Holy Spirit, just to come and bring comfort, consolation, strength, and fresh perspective into that situation right now. So just invite the Spirit of God to come and do exactly what I've just asked. Bring comfort, strength, healing, and fresh perspective. Come, Holy Spirit, just receive his presence, his touch, his healing right now. Thank you. I'm just going to pause for a moment while he ministers to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. More of you. Thank you. Father, we thank you that one of your promises, one of your many promises for our lives is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And another promise is anything too hard for the Lord? So, Father, we thank you that in you we have the strength to persevere and patiently endure. And Father, we thank you, though we may not see it now, that through this difficult time that we're facing, this pain that we're experiencing now, we'll grow, develop, and refine our relationship with you and us as believers, as followers of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. Nothing is impossible with you. For the situation I find myself, we find ourselves right now, is not forever. And we thank you for that wonderful truth, and we claim it now in our lives. I want to continue praying now as we focus on that difficult circumstance that you've just brought before the Lord this morning. And I want to pray a different prayer now. I want you to ask the Lord to show you how you can use the situation that you've just brought before him to glorify him and draw others to Christ. Holy Spirit, will you come now and just show us how we can use this difficult circumstance to reflect Jesus Christ, glorify you, and draw others to Jesus Christ. Come, thank you. Thank you. as the Spirit of God makes that known to you. You may be thinking, whoa, how on earth am I gonna make that happen? I can't do that, I'm too scared, I'm too timid, I haven't got the strength, I haven't got the giftings. Another one of God's great promises, that wherever he guides you, he will always provide. Whatever he asks of you, he doesn't expect you to complete or achieve in your strength. He will give you his strength, the giftings that you need to be able to fulfill all that he asks of you. So you haven't got to worry about that. You just need to say, thank you for showing me, Lord. Give me the strength to do it now. Thank you. As we remain in the spirit of prayer and receiving, we're going to continue with our final song as we allow the Spirit of God to continue to minister to us through him.